Congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Well, good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be here with you this morning for our service. Even though it says the sixth Sunday of Lent at the top of your bulletin, it's actually the fifth Sunday of Lent. So we didn't actually jump forward in time there. We just put the wrong number at the top. I'm glad to be here and glad to be gathered with all of you and excited about what the Lord is doing here in our church and what I know he's going to do in the future with us. A blessed place that he's given us as believers in Christ. I'm so glad to be gathered today. If you're joining us on the radio, we thank you for tuning into our service as well. And we begin this morning with our opening hymn. It's hymn number 490, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won. And on the last verse of that hymn, would you stand on the last verse as we sing that together? Hymn 490, let's sing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our intro this morning from Hebrews chapter 12. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We'll be talking more about our Old Testament reading later in the sermon, but before we read it, just consider that the bones, the dry, dry bones of Ezekiel, are an image of what sin has done to humanity. It's destroyed it in the sense of what it was. And so this image that the prophet sees, that God takes him in the vision to see, is an image of how bad it is, right? And then pay close attention to how things change and by what means. We begin in verse 1 of Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon me. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children up now for our children's sermon. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Good.
Awesome.
Awesome. Very cool.
Awesome.
Hey, do me a favor. Stick out your arm like this. Now take your other hand and feel your arm like this. Squeeze it like this. What do you feel?
Pinching.
What's inside of your arm, inside under your skin? Bones. Can you feel your bones? Yeah, you could. Your muscle, yep, and then your bones. Yeah, inside of. A bunch of bones over there. Cool. You can do that on your kneecaps too. Watch, go like this. Feel your kneecaps. Feel the bones. You know what? And these bones are so strong. Yeah. Did you hear the reading from Ezekiel about the bones? We were listening? Well, what happened in the reading? The dry bones came to life. How did they come to life?
Because of God.
Because of God, yeah. Yeah, there was something very interesting that happened to those bones that brought them to life. What happened? Good job, yeah. Very good. He's told Ezekiel to speak to the bones. And when that happened, what started to happen to the bones that were all dry and laying out?
They started to grow flesh.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And they came to life, right? And so guess what? We have bones too, and we're alive, right? On the inside of us is bones. But it's not just the bones, it's also skin and muscles, and we're alive, okay? And blood to make it swish around, yeah. But this is true for our life of faith too, because we're believers in Jesus, right? So just like our bodies are alive, and they move around, and you can do things, you can walk, you can run, you can jump, you can do all kinds of cool stuff, it's also true for our life of faith, that because we believe in Jesus, our life of faith is alive, okay? And so our life of faith does things too. Can you guys think of something that we do because we have faith in Jesus?
We pray.
Good job. There's a good one. We pray. Something else?
We go to church.
We go to church, yeah. We go to hear God's word too.
We sing for him.
Oh, I like it. Very good. Anything else? What about if somebody's mean to us? What do we do to the... How do we show them our faith when they're mean to us?
We forgive them.
We forgive them. Yeah, very good.
And
yeah.
We need the light of the world to God.
You're right, the light of the world. Wow, you guys are really on it today. Yeah. So just like our bones are inside our bodies, and then there's skin and muscles and all kinds of things that allow our bodies to move, it's true for our faith too, right? That God's word is like the bones of our faith, and it allows us to do really good things, like you guys are saying. Pray, forgive, all kinds of good things that we can do because our faith's alive, okay? So I want you guys to remember that, okay? That it isn't just your body that's alive, but also your faith. By the Holy Spirit and God's word, he keeps our faith alive. Did you know that? Did you know this? That it's not you who keeps your body alive? It's God. And it's not you who keeps your faith alive. Who keeps your faith alive? That's also God. Very good. Okay, I want you to remember that for me, okay? It's very important. Would you fold your hands with and bow your heads and close your eyes and we'll say a prayer? Okay, repeat after me, kids. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for our bodies and for our faith. And we especially thank you for taking care of them both. Help us to live out our faith in service to you and one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. Our epistle lesson for today comes from the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand for our reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were now just seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant he was taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this?" she said to him. "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We join together now in singing our hymn of the day. It's hymn 430, "My Song is Love Unknown." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. What does it mean to truly live? To truly, truly live. What consumes us? And what are we chasing after if we really stop and think about it? Is it our Lord's heavenly kingdom that we're often so interested in seeing furthered? Or are there other things that we think if we can attain in this life, then we'll truly, truly live? When I was a kid playing sports and things, I remember having t-shirts and seeing other people who had t-shirts, and on the shirts it would say something like, "Football is life." To some people it is. Baseball is life. To some people it is. I had a shirt that said, "Basketball is life." But what does it mean to truly live? I mean, I think this is a question worth pondering. And the world has all kinds of crazy answers to that question that it wants to speak over us and to us, to have us going every which way in that, chasing all kinds of things. And it'll even can bring us to the point where we sort of give up, right? And say, what does it mean to live? Oh, who cares? It's impossible. I love that line in the hymn that talked about Jesus' grief. Did you hear that at the very end of the hymn? Never has there been a grief like thine. So when we do get to the point where we're saying, oh, it's not even worth trying anymore, remember Jesus understands that too. He knew it. But there's a lot of answers to this question. Some will say to truly live is like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Some will say we should always keep improving, being the best version of ourselves. But it's kind of weird because those statements all logically end somewhere. And you know where they end? It might startle you. Certainly a startling thing. But it is, in fact, in the satanic book of the law where it says that the fullness of the law, this is in the church of Satan, gross, huh? They say the fullness of the law is this: do what thy wilt. That's what's written in their book. How scary close that is to what we hear all the time. Am I wrong? I wish I was. I really wish I was. But I wondered, what does the Bible say it means to truly live? And I think we can see it this morning in our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel. Because we know it's not wealth and privilege to truly live. For some of the wealthiest folks are the most discontent on earth. And it's not living with nothing to make yourself feel better about the greedy establishment, as it's called. That's a wild goose chase. Hope you're not on that one. Nor is it playing the victim all the time, so that we're never really at fault and we can always wiggle out through victimization. That's just backwards self-righteousness. None of these things come even close to the biblical answer, because for the scriptures, the answer of what it means to truly live isn't rendered in the form of a prescription or a proposition nor a prohibition. For the Bible, it's much more simple than that to truly live. If we look in our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel and ask the question, what brought true living to those dry bones in the vision. Oh, they were very dry, the text says. It's in verse 4 of the reading where we read, prophesy over these bones and say to them, it's the word of God. The literal word of God, spoken by God's servant, is what brings life to the dead bones. Think about that for just a second. Think about that according to the Bible, what it means to truly live is not what you think at all, and not what I think. According to the Bible, it's really simple. To truly live is to hear the word of God. Now, if you go back in the Bible on this thought, you can end up back in Genesis prior to the fall, and you can say, those were the first people to truly live, were they not? Adam and Eve, before the temptation of the serpent. But you look at Adam and Eve there, and you say, well, what did they do? What did they go about doing prior to the fall into sin? Well, it's pretty simple. They heard the word of God and they obeyed. They heard the word of God and they did it. That's what it means to truly be alive. And then something happened. Something terrible came into the cosmos and screwed this whole thing up so badly that Ezekiel finds not a bunch of people living in his vision, but a bunch of dead, dry bones in a valley. Now think about this one too. John chapter 20, when Jesus is with his disciples and he gives them the Holy Spirit, he does so by doing what? By the same thing that we hear in Ezekiel. The breath. He breathes on them. And that's what the text in Ezekiel told us too. That they... bones came together, bone to bone. There's skin, there's muscles, there's tendons on them, but there's no life in them. Next has to come the breath. But this is the cool thing about Jesus breathing on the disciples that finally makes sense out of what's going on there. It's this text. Because when we speak to somebody, you've ever been really close to somebody, and when they speak to you, you can feel their breath. This is God's breath coming off the pages of his holy word, bringing life to us, no different than he did when he breathed into the nostrils of Adam, no different than he did when they breathed life onto these dry bones. To truly live means to hear the word of God and do it. But it's scary. It's scary to go about living this way. It's easier to stick to what we know. But here's the twist. Is that if we go about our lives and our bodies, moving and walking and running and moving around, that's not what the Bible says it means to live. In fact, when Jesus saw the Pharisees walking around in their bodies, looked like they were alive, he walked right up to them and he said this, you're full of dead men's bones. Because he knew what life and death really was, and he knew what it meant to truly live. And they were dead. Why? Because the things that we call living, they're actually death in disguise. That's what Paul told us in the epistle reading, that the mind set on earthly things is death, but the mind set on heavenly things in the spirit is life. So we got it backwards. It's crazy, but it's true. And if we really stop and ponder this, we go, oh my gosh, I do have it backwards. How did that happen? Well, you can go back to the serpent in the garden for that answer. So can I. And then look too at the gospel reading. I mean, these texts are amazing. Why does Lazarus, who's been dead long enough that there's an odor, come out? out of the tomb walking and alive. What makes that happen? The same thing that brought life to the bones. The same breath that God breathed into Adam. Jesus speaks, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Truly living and alive. So this is what it means to truly live, to hear the word of God and do it. The world will continue to give you another message of what living means. A different word than God speaks to us. But we are baptized into Christ and we are his sheep. He said so, not just us. And he also said this about his sheep, that his sheep know his voice. And they hear his word. And they open their Bibles. And when we do, feel the breath of God. Because every word of scripture is breathed out by God, the scriptures say. And since we know his voice, we can test these things to see what's from God and what's not. Consider this text with me quickly too. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I love the way that Paul puts it in that text because he puts it in the same sort of framework. It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in your sins and trespasses." What Ezekiel saw in his vision in chapter 37 is basically a real life version of what's already happened to you and to me, because that exceeding great army of believers lives today and is alive, truly living by the word of Christ and his gifts. When the world says, "Oh, this isn't living," they're dead. That's how God sees it. And those who hear his word are the ones that are alive, actually living, but not just living for a time, like Jesus told us in the reading, that the one who believes in me will never die, because what's begun in you, the life that he's already created, goes on. Eternity's already started. And that's the tension that we feel as we live in this world, but not of it. Ezekiel's vision of us dead in our sin, but walking around and we're thinking we're alive. When we're doing that, we're living for ourselves and we're doing what we will. And that's not life according to the word of God, friends. This is something to consider and to take heed of now while our bodies are still moving and our minds are still working. And our hearts are still beating. Because we have had in former years and even maybe earlier today other voices that we listened to. Other voices that said, "Go get what you want," or "Be a grump because this isn't what you want and you have to do it anyway." And we've obeyed them. And we've let them lead us around like sheep without a shepherd, when we're not sheep without a shepherd. We're sheep with the shepherd, and we know his voice, and we know what he says, and we know what life is. I wonder, since we have this great gift of life, spoken of the way that the scripture says it, not the way that the world does. Since we have this great gift, why do we keep going back to the elementary principles of the world and living as if to truly live means that we get our cake and eat it too, that our business works, that we have a lot of money, some of those kinds of things that we get so easily hung up on. Why? Why? When we've been born again in Christ through baptism, when he's given us true living, while our bodies move, while we can live each and every day under the sun, when we can improve our lives, none of it's truly living. I just want to encourage you to really think about that. To really ponder what that means. That to truly be alive is to hear God's word and do it. And let that voice of the shepherd lead each and every day. Because we don't live by those other sounds and those other words of the world. And when we start living by them, it hurts because it's not who we are. The voice of our shepherd, it speaks over us even again this morning. Not all that different from the way it spoke over the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. It speaks over us and tells us what it means to truly live and not to be disbelieving, but believe that what his voice says when it speaks over us is true. That it's true what God tells us about us. That it's true that we have the forgiveness of sins. It's true that we really are children of God. It speaks over us and it says that Jesus died to save us, and this is how he comes to us through his word to tell us what true living actually is. It brings us life. And now we go forth in our bodies, an exceeding great army of the church, his believers who fight not with weapons fashioned by hands, but those who know what it means to truly live. See, this takes a whole nother spin, right? This whole nother turn when you realize, hold on, I know what true life is. If I'm a believer in Jesus, I know what it really means. Yeah, well, there's a bunch of people that you know who don't. And they're walking around full of dead people's bones. And God wants them to hear what it means to truly live. So he sends his mighty church with the gospel. And so we look for inroads of all kinds, whatever we can find to get the message out there, to make people who walk in these doors, like we talked about this morning, comfortable, that they might hear the same thing and understand true life in the world. That they might too hear the word of forgiveness spoken over their dry bones, no different than we have. He's given that to you and to me and to us together. But it's not just for us, but for all those who believe in his name, that we, little old you and me, get to bring life through that message to all the other people that hear. This is a great blessing. This is what should be on the t-shirts, if you know what I'm saying. This is life. Sharing the gospel of Jesus and his forgiveness in any way that we can. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We invite you to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was crowned by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us.
We now come to our prayers of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, you have given the new birth of water and spirit. Lord, make your children strong in your spirit that they may shun the works of the flesh and live in this world expecting the resurrection and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, bless Matthew, our synod president, James, our district president, our circuit visitors, and our pastors that you have sent to prophesy your word over us, that your spirit's breath would enter us and we would live forever according to your gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, soften the hearts of your people in every home. Turn parents and children toward one another in love and patience. Banish the spirit of impudence, stubbornness, rebellion from all your people and sanctify us in your truth, for your word is truth. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of hosts, you are the true source of life. You are living itself. Your word and your spirit bring life to us and is the only way in which we can truly live. Humble those who are given authority over the lives of other people, that they would discharge this duty honorably and in accord with your word and your will. Lord, in your mercy. O great Redeemer, our hope is only in you, for with you there is steadfast love and redemption, and your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, so we cry to you on behalf of all those suffering affliction today. And we name before you from the altar Kendall and Susan, Carol Schrader, Jacob Beluska, Donna Erke, Wendy Vest, Kim Hill, Lindsay McClone and son Carter Lee, Lucy Walsh and family, Jim Holman, Teresa O'Haver, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Autopolic, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Sonny Rumler, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, assure them and all of us that our iniquities have been washed away, and that because of your word, spirits, and gifts, we do truly live as we hear your word and do it. And Lord, grant all for whom we pray healing and relief from their burdens according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty God, you have shown us your great mercy through the death of your own Son. May all who partake of his supper come with repentant and humble hearts to taste the body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed for our life. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, your Son is the resurrection and the life, in whom all the dead will rise, and through whom your elect will live eternally in your presence. Give comfort, Lord, to all those who mourn, those stricken by grief, those in fear that they...
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK.